May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, the call of Matthew. Pray with me. Lord, your word is sweeter than honey to our mouths, as you gave Ezekiel your word to eat. So give us your word to hear and to spiritually digest this day. Give us your sweet word of mercy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Question to begin today, when we gather for worship in God's house, what do we pray for? What do we beg for more than anything else? This dominates worship. It's in our minds, it's in our hearts. We pray for it, we beg for it. We've had about a half hour of church so far. We prayed for this at least six times already today. It's called mercy. The world today probably wants more money because they're losing money. We realize there's something greater than that. We want mercy, the true riches that give life. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that take us away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. Mercy, mercy, God, mercy, mercy, mercy. And so as we think about the life of Matthew today, the apostle, his is a life of mercy. A wretched tax collector, regarded as an unclean beast by the Jews. He was no better than a snake or a pig or a rat. He was in that class. And yet the mercy that our Lord shows to this wretch. I want to talk about mercy today, and not Matthew, but mercy. I want to say four things about mercy. We learn from the gospel, this short little gospel of what, five verses, the call of Matthew. It's all about the mercy of our God. We learn our God's mercy is powerful. Our God's mercy is public. Our God's mercy is top priority. And our God's mercy is found in a person. First of all, God's mercy is very, very, very powerful. It changes lives. It forgives sins. It makes one right with God. It gives eternal life. It raises the dead. It's powerful stuff, the mercy of God. God's mercy is not just a kind word. It's not a little small kind action that helps someone for about 5 seconds. It is the power of God to save a sinner. It changes lives. And we see that in the life of Matthew. In just 5 verses, his entire life is changed. Jesus comes in mercy. He's sitting there at the tax booth. And Jesus says, follow me, meaning you're forgiven, Matthew. I love you. Come follow me. Matthew never heard that. He heard people say, get away from me, leave me. Jesus says, follow me. I love you. I forgive you. And his life is changed. The text says he rose and followed him. Very significant. The word there for rose is resurrection. He was resurrected. Not as he got up physically, but his spirit rose. He has faith. He's gone from death to life, from hell to heaven, from greed to grace. He's a changed man. He's a man of resurrection now. For he has faith in Jesus. And that's the power of mercy. I was driving home this past week, one night, from a meeting here. And there on the road as I was going home was a possum. They're trying to scoot across the road. Was Pastor going to have mercy or not? Possum? I had mercy. I slowed down, let the creepy little thing crawl across the road, rolled down my window, said, get out of here, and drove on. And a lot of people think of God's mercy kind of like that. God just tolerates us. We're kind of gross to God. We're grimy with sin. God just kind of tolerates us and says, just kind of get out of here. I won't kill you today. That's not God's mercy. God's mercy is not tolerating someone and resisting killing them. God's mercy, by way of illustration, would be this. This would be an illustration of God's mercy with the possum. Say I let the possum walk by, I didn't kill it, and then I opened my door and said, come here, little possum, come here, little possum, and picked the possum up and gave the possum a kiss. Oh, I love you, little possum. And I brushed the possum, and I took it home and I bathed the possum. and I fed the possum. Let it sleep in my bed. Made the possum my pet. Pet possum. How I love you, pet possum. We would never do that with a possum. And God does that with sinners. He doesn't merely just say, get out of here, I won't kill you today. He bathes us in baptism, kisses us with a kiss of peace, forgiveness of sins, communion. He feeds us, gives us a home in the church, a home in heaven, the power of mercy. Secondly, the Lord's mercy is very, very public. The Lord doesn't call Matthew in private. He doesn't whisper in his ear, hey, follow me. I don't want anybody to know that I know you, but follow me a little bit later when no one's around. It's very public, right out there in open, in Capernaum. He's at the tax booth, lots of people around. The Lord is not ashamed of Matthew. Everybody else is ashamed of Matthew. They don't talk to him. The Lord's not ashamed of him, not embarrassed by him. Follow me. He goes and eats with him also in public. All very public. I love you, Matthew. You're my disciple. You're my brother. The Lord links his reputation with that of Matthew. What you say about Matthew, say about me. I'm his friend. Wow. Notice the two ways the Lord calls him and has mercy on him. A word, a simple word, follow me, and a meal. A great model of how the Lord has mercy today in church. A simple word, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. He says that publicly. We don't say that in private. He wants the whole world to know that he forgives you and forgives them too. And a public meal. He eats with us sinful people. It's very public. I love you. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not embarrassed of you. Maybe you're ashamed of God in your life. He's never ashamed of you. As wretched as we are. I've told you before, we got this little dog at home, Tucker. Tucker is about like a squirrel. About like a possum, I guess you'd say. Little tiny squirt of a Chihuahua, Dachshund mix, little bitty guy, about like a 2-pound dog. And at home, I will feed Tucker. He can sit on my lap. I will pet him. I'll talk to him. He can sleep in my bed. I'll do all that in the privacy of my home. But I will never, ever take Tucker for a walk by myself. His little stature has a way of highlighting my rather large stature. And a big guy like me doesn't need a little squirt of a dog. I need a big dog, I tell Ann. Ann goes on the walk with me and she holds little Tucker. I won't do it. He's not my dog. He's your dog. A woman's dog. I don't think Tucker really cares whether I'm embarrassed of him in public or not. But I think it matters enough to us if God's embarrassed of us in public. And he's not. He's a big, great God, a holy God. And he loves us out in public. Hangs his arms on a cross out in public to say he loves us. Gives us a meal, a word. Not ashamed of us. His mercy is public for all to see. For he loves us and he loves the entire world. What a God we have. Mercy must be our top priority, number three. At the end of the text, Jesus says to the grumbling Pharisees, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The top priority for you Pharisees ought to be mercy and not all your sacrifices. You should be showing mercy to people like Matthew, but you're not. All you worry about is all the sacrifices that you give in the temple, thinking that's good enough for God, that you're pleasing God. Mercy is top priority. We've been shown mercy, and so we are to show mercy. We've been loved, so we are to love. We've been forgiven, so we are to forgive and forgive and show mercy. That marks the church. We are forgiving, loving, merciful people all the way to the end. If people don't say that about the church, then we've done wrong. If they think we're legalistic and we're mean and judgmental and criticize, we've sinned. Our reputation needs to be that we are people of mercy and forgiveness and unending love for the whole world. That's the reputation of the church. See, that the Pharisees would give their sacrifices. They'd give their lamb, their goat, their pigeon, their bull, and offer the sacrifice in the temple. And the Lord here is saying, that means nothing to me if you don't show mercy to people like Matthew. For if you don't show mercy to people like Matthew, it proves that all that sacrifice is hypocritical. It's fake. It's a sham. And I hate it. There's a real lesson for the church here. We come to Christian worship and a lot of this is sacrifice or part of it. We give an offering, good thing to do. We sing praises. We thank God. We give our time and our effort in worship. All very good if done in faith and love for God. But if we go out and we don't love our neighbor, We don't show mercy to people. We don't forgive people. Rather, we hold grudges. Oh, this is a sham, people. You prove your love for God by how you love your neighbor, not by how loud you sing in church or the good clothes you wear in church. And that's what the Lord's getting at here. The mark of the church is mercy. We have a man in the congregation. Rick, are you back there? Are you awake? Rick Elmore, our beloved member of our church, has talked for about 6 months how he can beat me in basketball. And Big Lynn Holloway is here, and he said the same thing for about 3 months. I could lick you in basketball, Pastor. I could beat you in a one-on-one. And what do? I say, the court's right downstairs. Are you ready? Talk is cheap. Now, they could pop. Lynn could beat me. I don't know about Rick, but I know Lynn could. Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk. Tennessee talked before the game yesterday, some of the players. We can talk. Talk is cheap. Prove it. And that's the message to Pharisees. All your talk about how you love God is cheap. Prove it by how you love your neighbor like Matthew. You say you're a Christian. It's easy to say it. Prove it by showing mercy and forgiving someone and helping someone. The top priority is mercy, because we've been shown so much mercy. How can we not show mercy in return? And last of all, mercy is found in a person. And that's obvious. That's the summary. That person is Jesus. Mercy is not just a nice idea, a nice thought. It's found in Jesus, who was born, who lived, who died, who rose again. All things he did to provide salvation to the whole world. It's action. It's doing. It's a person. A lesson we learn here is that you won't find a lot of mercy in the world. Sometimes even from religious people. Mercy is rare. Matthew only gets mercy from one guy, Jesus. The Pharisees don't show him mercy. The teachers of the law don't show him mercy. The people don't show him mercy. Even the disciples hardly join in. They join the meal later. They're not real excited, it appears, either, to have Matthew as a disciple. Mercy is rare. You won't find it much, but you will ever find it in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose again. In him is mercy upon mercy upon mercy upon mercy. It's a rare thing, though. You find a lot of mercy in your workplace? It's probably dog eat dog. I better do my job or I get fired. I better climb the ladder or someone's going to step on me as they climb the ladder over top of me. Maybe you don't find a lot of mercy in your family, in your home, where you bicker and fight. Not a lot of forgiveness and not a lot of mercy. Maybe you don't find it in the church sometimes when people are critical and judgmental. Where's the mercy? Where's the love? Where's the forgiveness? You don't find it at the gas pump. Much mercy, do you? And we didn't see much mercy on the football field yesterday, did we, from Florida? Don't find a lot of mercy. You find mercy here in Jesus. I want to finish with a quote. The CEO of Apple was speaking to students at Stanford University and giving advice about life. This is the CEO of Apple. And this was his advice that I found in a quote in Reader's Digest. He said to the students at Stanford University, CEO of Apple, he said, "You cannot connect the dots looking forward. We just don't know the future. So you have to trust in something. Your gut. Destiny. Or maybe karma." What great advice to college students from the CEO of Apple. We don't know where we're going in life. You don't know what's going to happen. So trust your gut. I'm going to trust this thing? And all the evil desires of my gut, my heart, and my mind? Don't trust your gut. Trust the grace of God. Don't trust karma. Trust in Christ. For in him you know where you're going, as Matthew knew where he was going. You're going to the cross for forgiveness, where Matthew went. You're going to heaven, the paradise. So on this St. Matthew Day, we think of mercy. God's mercy is powerful. It is public. It is our top priority to share it with others. It's found in the person of Jesus. We indeed ever cry, "Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us." Say it with me. Have mercy upon us. And God answers that prayer and has mercy this day. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. we join in the offertory.